to this orange volcanic complex, also about 50 million years. Circle around through these green rocks, which are older rocks that are less metamorphosed and have their own history, and I'll leave that till later. And then throughout the trip in yellow here are sedimentary deposits from the last ice age, from the glaciers, the continental ice sheet that came out of Canada and over this entire area. The area was covered, except perhaps the top of Mount Bonaparte, and left deposits from several periods of glaciation. So that's a general start. Perhaps now we should talk about what's here.
About this one? Okay, well, I'll start that one anyway. The reason we wanted to start here in the Okanagan Valley, looking at the rock, this rock here, is because this is rock along the Okanagan Fault, which runs along the west side of the Okanagan Metamorphic Core Complex, which is really the structure that is the building basis for this whole part of the highlands from here almost to Republic. So it's kind of like a big dome, and on this side of the dome, the rocks that were above us, they moved off or slid off to the west. And if you go to the west side of the valley here, you don't find these rocks anymore. You find rocks like volcanic rocks and very slightly metamorphosed sedimentary rocks that were higher up in the crust. And so, for the most part, hidden under the river sediments along the Okanagan River is the Okanagan Fault. Probably not a coincidence. Right along the fault zone itself, the rocks got really broken and weak, and that's probably why the river ended up making its valley there. Although down at Omak, the fault zone veers over to Omak Lake away from the Okanagan Valley. And the rocks deeper under the fault, where the rocks were hotter and more metamorphosed and even partly molten, the white stuff in here is granitic, and it may have formed from the stuff above sliding out to the west along the fault. And that reworked some of the rocks into what they call myelinite, which is from an old word that means something like milled rock. It partly got broken, but it also just got recrystallized into these sheared out, flattened, and in some cases lineated structures. And you see that best in the rock, which we call amphibolite or amphibolite gneiss. That is made of minerals that maybe resisted the melting. They're minerals that didn't melt at the same temperature as the granitic rock did. So they stayed solid and just recrystallized as a metamorphic rock. And they may have originally been the black rock may have originally been some much older rock, like even part of an old oceanic crust. They got cut up and reworked in this zone, but apparently not melted right here. So you get a mixture of granitic and metamorphic rocks in here. But even the granitic ones have been recrystallized, so those are metamorphic too, at least most of them. And you know that going from here down to Omak, those big slopes here on the east side of the valley that some people call the Flatirons, those are in this myelinitic zone where the rocks have these layers in them from the milling and sliding and shearing effect to make them into myelinite. So those are big dip slopes, we call them, because a lot of those slopes are parallel to the foliation is a technical term, but those surfaces in the metamorphic rock that we call myelinite. And you can see along most of the side of the valley, they slope down to the west, these layers. And the Okanagan Fault is a somewhat unusual kind of fault called a detachment fault, which is defined as being on top of a metamorphic core complex where you get these hot rocks from underneath, from inside the metamorphic core complex, and then there's a transition to the rocks from up above that didn't get so hot metamorphosed that moved on the upper plate off to the side. So that's what a detachment fault is, and so the Okanagan detachment fault is actually a fairly well-known one because you can see a lot of it here. Although these rocks were somewhat below the main fault zone, where it's just a broad shear zone for thousands of feet down. The fault itself, if there was a narrow zone where the main fracturing and sliding of the upper plate occurred, like I said, that got eroded away. It is mostly hidden under the river sediments. I have a field trip guide to go look at that part of the fault, and you have to get prior proper permission to look at one little grungy green outcrop of crushed up rock from higher up than this. So we don't get to see that. From here we'll go into the highlands and see more of the deeper rock than this even, and on to other structures.
So this formation here is this way because because of the heat and pressure of the shearing and sliding of the...
It's because of the shearing and sliding, yeah.
Okay.
The pressure, the unequal pressure where it was like going this way down below, or resisting this way down below and sliding this way up above. So we're in the shear zone here. And that's why we get these layers and the orientation of this whole outcrop.
And that was just uplift.
Well, at the same time, yeah, these metamorphic core complexes, they used to call them gneiss domes, because this rock in general is called gneiss, you know, G-N-E-I-S-S.
Yeah.
Yeah, it domed upward while the stuff on top was sliding off to the side. And the whole area of the crust was being stretched apart in an even broader way. So, whereas earlier geologic history, this was a zone of things pushing together, like we'll talk about later in the day. And this happened around 50 million years ago, maybe starting even a little bit further back, 60 million years ago, and on down to about 40 million years ago. Mostly that's in the time period we call the Eocene Epoch. So so something different was happening in the Eocene. They get these metamorphic core complexes, because even further east, there's a Kettle metamorphic core complex. There's a Spokane metamorphic core complex over by Spokane. They're all from the same age, stretching out structures with the hot rocks and metamorphic rocks doming up below, and then the upper rocks sliding off to the side, and so on. Something changed after that, and you get a different set of tectonics, big things pushing or pulling around, where things, you know, changed more towards what we get today after that Eocene epoch.
But this that we're looking at here was created farther down, or
yes,
created here?
Yeah, no, this would have happened. For the pressures and temperatures at which these minerals form, it would have been miles down,
mm-hmm.
and unusually, well, and hot. Hot enough to melt some of the rock types. So, yeah, there's been thousands and thousands and thousands of feet of not only uplift, but fault removal and then just erosion of the stuff that used to be on top to get this. So this is an exposure of what used to be down deeper.
Ralph and Steve, when you talk about a detachment fault, and when we talk about faults in general, there's an offset, a lateral or a vertical offset.
Mm-hmm.
So is it a vertical offset with that sliding?
It's a low angle fault, so it's more horizontal offset than vertical, but the vertical alone is several kilometers.
Mm.
So, whereas the horizontal may be tens of kilometers. You might know more about that, yeah.
Well, the general idea is about 30 to 40 kilometers of horizontal offset so that the upper piece...
Well, maybe less than 10, or maybe that much.
That's a detached thrust.
Well, it's called detachment fault. It's a normal fault.
Yeah.
Instead of thrust is where things get pushed together. This was getting pulled apart.
Yeah.
But it has components of lateral and vertical.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That motion.
Yeah.
So that originally the crust here was 40 or 50 miles thick. After this stretching episode, it's now about 30 to 35 miles thick. So we ended up really thinning the crust across Washington, Idaho, and western Montana.
What's causing it?
Ultimately, it's the interactions between the oceanic plates and the continent. So today we have the subduction zone where the ocean is actually sliding under North America, and the volcanoes come up along that zone, or come up from melting along that zone. Back 50 million years ago, the thought is that you had a spreading ridge intersect with the subduction zone, so that you changed the tectonics and you caused stretching of the continent inboard of that. Well, let me say one more thing. So this whole stretching episode is kind of one event that's important in the highlands here. And the two others that we'll really talk about today, and Carl will talk more about this, is the ice ages, the last couple of million years when ice overran this whole area. And many of the features you see in the highlands are really the result of that, the shaping of the surface. And then the third feature, which is sort of shown here that we'll look at up near Chisa, is an earlier event when things were being shoved on top of the continent. Things were squishing together. There's this group of rock shown in green here that we visited up by Chisa that didn't originate on the North American continent, but in the ocean basin off to the west, and were pushed on top. But that happened maybe 200 million years ago. This thing is about 50 million years ago, and the ice ages were the last couple of million. So those are kind of the three big events, at least in the last billion years. There's some earlier ones too.
Give or take a few eons.
Yeah. Make sure you get in the front at the stop so you can hear. You can't hear.
Or somewhere over there. Because there was a big ocean, and over hundreds of millions of years, there's a lot of plate motion that could cover something approaching the width of the Pacific Ocean for how far some of them came.
Right.
Yeah. And there's actually fossil evidence in some of the rocks of Connecticut too that connect up with rocks that are in Asia now. These little microscopic plankton fossils.
Really?
Yeah.
Is that on the islands part or is that farther west?
It's in the highlands, like up around Chisaw. Well, and also in the zone over there, some of the rocks are less metamorphosed. It's easier to see the fossils in them, some of these limestones and so on. But some of it up, we'll see later in the day near that
the
area.
The roadside geology book that talked about this part of Okanagan Highlands and that being an island out in the Pacific that came and then that came too. So those could have been clear across in Asia.
Or yeah, or they split up with something that became part of Asia, and this part made it over here. Yeah.
Fascinating.
But we'll get to that.
Hey, but before we go, I don't want to step on you guys' toes. Are you good? As we drive, a couple things to keep your eyes on. Look at the shape of the land. Now here we're looking at composition. As we drive east, look at the shape of the land, and you get a sense just looking out here at the big rounded knobs, and then you see flats, not real apparent here, but terrace-like features, and then in that on the far skyline there's an area that looks real kind of dissected. It looks soft, but my interpretation would be eroded. Things in mind, kind of rounded flats, and then places where there looks like there's been a lot of erosion. Ask yourself how that came about, and then we'll see if we can weave in some of those stories as we go.